And here I thought, you know, Mickey's Mousetrap and Infestation 88 were the only things that the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey was going to get, you know, changed into. But nope, there's more. According to Disgusting Film on Twitter, on X, I should say, Disgusting Film. That's Disgusting Film. Just one word, though. Disgusting Film. They say that they have an image, it's right here, you see it on the screen, first look at another Steamboat Willie horror movie, which begins filming in spring. The film will follow a sadistic mouse who torments a group of unsuspecting ferry passengers. So they're not straight up calling it Mickey, but it's called Steamboat Willie. And it says, and this is what's interesting, another Steamboat Willie horror film. Now we know that, you know, like I said, Mickey's Mousetrap, is the first one that we know of, the first horror film. And we know that game-wise, Infestation 88 is the first as well. And there's probably more to come. I'm sure they're getting this information as best as they can, but, you know, this is, but, I don't even know what to say here. It's like, you know, what did you expect? What did you expect? I mean, here's what's interesting, too. A lot of people, you know, they comment on this, and they're like, well, why is horror the only direction they want to go in? Why? Why this? Why that? You know, why do they want to take a public domain character like Tigger and make him a sadistic killer in the Blood and Honey sequel? Why do they want to do this? Why do they want to do that? And da, 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 da. You have to understand something. You have to understand something. You see, when we do fanfic or fan works, you know, whatever, what have you, you know, when we do those, we don't get in trouble because we're not making profit off them. We're not making profit off them or anything. What we're doing is showing our appreciation. So that's a big difference. And that's why a lot of companies like Disney don't take that as a threat because they know, hey, it's just fans expressing their love for, you know, said genres or said characters or what have you. So they have no problem with fan works. They have no problem with fan animations. They have no problem with, fanfic stories and web works, web comics, if you will. You know, as long as you don't make money off it. You know, they don't have a problem. You know, they don't have a problem. You know, the same with, and it's crazy as it sounds, the same with PAL Comics. PAL Comics is a fan-related site. They just need the money to keep, you know, the browser, the server they're working off of, you know, happy. The people that run the server that, you know, those sites are working off of, Mobius Unleashed, Fur 34, and all Rule 34, Fur 34, whatever. PAL Comics, you know, they're basically, you know, paying the people that run that server on a monthly basis, which is why they have, you know, which is why they have, you know, the subscriptions. They're not, you know, having people pay them to enjoy certain comics and stuff like that. You know, which is true, they are, but they're not doing that, you know, basically to say, hey, we own this character and everything. No, they're doing it because they need to maintain their service with the server, basically. If not, then pretty much they'll have to look elsewhere. You know, so that's why they charge certain things. But that's also why they have a free area, too. So that way, if you don't want to, you know, pay for, you know, a monthly subscription to Mobius Unleashed or wherever, you can look into the free area, and there you go. You know, so they balance it out to where it's like, hey, everything's still free, but if you want to look at Pacific Comics, you're either going to have to wait till people put them on the web, which they do, or you have to wait. Or not wait, but or you have to pay a monthly fee just to look at them. Just to look at them. But that monthly fee is not because, you know, PAL Comics is saying, oh, we own these characters. No, it's their way of saying, hey, you want access to this? That's fine. And in the process, you're helping us maintain this website. That's what it is. That's what it is. So that's kind of a loophole, unique difference between fan works, even with the subscription, to access said fan works comes into play. You know, the under the fair the under the I guess you could say fan, or what, I don't know what you would call fan works something or whatever. Basically they're under they're under like a category to where, they're safe. They're basically safe and everything. But if somebody, let's say, wanted to take the Mickey Mouse we now know, that's at the park that you've been seeing, that you've seen in House of Mouse and all that. If they wanted to take him and say, "Hey, we're gonna make a movie, or we're gonna make a fan, we're gonna make a show, and we're gonna sell it," we're gonna sell it to a studio or whatever, or try to sell it off as a series to a studio, they can't do that because Disney owns that. That's Disney's property. That design of Mickey and the designs that came before it and will come after it are all under Disney's watch, or all under Disney's umbrella. All the designs that came after Steamboat Willie and that are coming after this current design of Mickey right now are all under the Disney umbrella, which is why basically, which is why, you have a lot of fun. Hold on for a second. Almost got tongue-tied, I do apologize. But like I said, which is why, you have a lot of fans excited by the Steamboat Willie release. Because, hey, it may just be Steamboat Willie, and everything in that design from, that short and plain crazy, but it's still something that they can work around. They can kind of find a loophole creatively and innovatively, around. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Basically, I mean, yeah, everybody knows who it is. Everybody knows who it is and everything, but it's not exactly, it's not exactly that iteration that we all know right now. It's not exactly that iteration. It's the first iteration. Now, some might say, looking at this poster, if you will, at least this concept poster for what's going to be worked on, they might say, "Well, he's got the white gloves on. Steamboat Willie didn't have the white gloves." That's true, but here's the thing: the white gloves, if you take a look, are kind of tattered. They're kind of torn up. So there's a way to get around these kind of things. There is a way to get around these kind of things. But yeah, again, like I said, the biggest difference when it comes to public domain and when it comes to public domain fan works and what's owned. It's fan works is you're not making profit, if you will. And even if you are making some kind of profit, you're only doing that for people to access certain things. I want you to know something too. When you go to places like PAL Comics and their, their subscription areas like Mobius Unleashed and Fur 34 and all that, I want you to think about this. Have you seen one singular Disney or Warner Brothers item in there? One? One singular Disney? No. Because they know that if they did that, they could get in trouble. They know that. So they're going with other properties that, they won't have that much of an issue with, if at all. If at all. So basically, they're finding a loophole around that. Because if you do see any Mickey Mouse works and everything on PAL Comics of the adult kind, they're going to be in the free section. That way it's like it's a fan work, it's an adult fan work, but oh, by the way, it's also non-profit. So again, people find creative ways to even showcase fan works with, Mickey of today, if you will. But when it comes to making money, if you will, making a profit, outside of Steamboat Willie, the designs that came after, that, and the designs that will come after the current design will fall under the Disney umbrella. And if you try to make a profit out of that, you get in trouble. That's why people are trying to find very creative, innovative ways to skew around that. This is why you have the Mickey's Mousetrap, movie, set up the way it is. This is why you have Infestation 88 set up the way it is as a game. This is why apparently you're going to have Steamboat Willie, set up the way it is, because of the fact, that they know that if they, they know that if they try to straight up make Mickey, you make it look like it's Mickey right off the bat, there could be trouble. So that's why they're skewing around it. They're skewing around it, if you know what I mean. But another thing too that some people have is, that I mentioned earlier, is why do people like to go the horror route? What's so attractive about it? Well, again, when you go back to the nonprofit fan works out there, fiction, animations, web comics, what have you, fans, as they get older, always envision, these kind of ideas. Like, what would happen if said character was in a horror environment? I mean, why do you think Sonic.exe is such a popular trope right now? Because, yeah, it's a fan work, it's a nonprofit fan work. And, oh, by the way, it lets us see what Sonic would be like in a horror genre. Same with any thing, that gets put with that, like Mario.exe or SallyAcorn.exe. You get the idea. It's basically to see how these characters would look in a horror-like environment and everything. That's why you have fans make these things up, because even though they won't make profit off it, they want to see, what would be if we could? What would be if we could? And they know that if things stay on the internet for years and years and centuries to come, they know eventually somebody in the future, when Sonic goes public domain, when he goes public domain, the classic design and the current design, the modern design, they know that once that goes in public domain in the 2080s, and that's when it's going to happen, and if any resemblance, any information of the Sonic.exe is around, you can't tell me that somebody's not going to look at that and be like, hey, we can make a movie out of that now. We can do it legally. And they could. They could. But right now they can't. Right now they can't. They can only go with the fan works, the nonprofit fan works. But when it comes to something going into the public domain, that's it. You just got to skewer around, find different methods, if you will, to make it happen. And also, you got to think about it too this way. You also got to think about it too this way. People have had these all in the works for a while. People with the Mickey's Mousetrap, people working on the Steamboat Willie horror film, people working on Infestation 88, the video game, and other projects, including the inclusion of Tigger, in Blood and Honey 2. They've been working on these for a year. Heck, even the first Blood and Honey, Winnie the Pooh, they've been working on for a year, if not years, waiting for this moment. They've been working on these kind of things for years, waiting for this moment, waiting for this exact moment when the clock struck midnight last night, ringing in 2024. People were waiting for that, and they finally got it. They were waiting for it, and they finally got it. So it's all about just, working on something that you hope to see becomes a reality, and when that opportunity presents itself to you, eventually, and becomes, when the opportunity presents itself to you, you go for it. You go for it. And that's what's going on now. You're having all these people with these scripts, that they've been working on and finalizing. You have all these people that have been working on these projects, waiting for the moment that they can unleash this upon the world. And now they're doing it, which is why you're getting all this. I mean, Popeye the Sailor Man's going to go into public domain next year too. I don't know if it's the iteration that first appeared in alongside Betty Boop, and that's the only one, or it's the entire Popeye catalog. We don't know. But we can say this. We can say this when he does, when he and Olive and Bluto go into public domain next year, guarantee this. People will be ready to go. I mean, they already, from a license perspective, got the okay to do some strange things with Popeye, depending on the situation. But I guarantee you, starting next year, you're going to see a lot of Popeye projects popping up. Popping up in either the horror genre. Or they might even be biblical. Well, I wouldn't say biblical, but might even be biographical. In other words, they can make a Popeye film that seems like it's a biopic, but it's not. People are even saying, hey, when Papa goes into the public domain, does that mean that the Tetzkowski film that he was working on, based on Popeye, could that get resurrected? And it just might. Maybe that's what Tetzkowski's waiting for. We're not really sure. But yeah, people, they have these projects waiting, rearing and ready to go. They just have to wait a little longer. For people to have plans and ideas for Popeye, they got to wait until 2025. For people to have plans for Donald Duck and Goofy, they're working on the script on and off, filming some things here and there maybe or whatever. They got to wait for another few years, and so on. So yeah, it is. So yeah, it's gonna be. I will say this: before the 2020s are out, it's gonna be a very, noteworthy decade. There's no doubt, especially when it comes to certain characters entering public domain. And that's a fact. That's a fact. But let me know what your thoughts are on this new Steamboat Willie movie that's being talked about, that's coming out apparently soon, going to be filming this spring. Let me know what your thoughts are on it. As well as what your thoughts are when people go these routes, when certain things go into public domain. After the 95-year hiatus, or I wouldn't say 95, I wouldn't say hiatus, but 95-year withheldment, if you will. Let me know what your thoughts are when people decide to go that route, as well as what are your thoughts on the differences between fan works and public domain, and what cannot be used. And do you agree that you do see that kind of like little loophole, a little loophole thin? That little loophole that PAL Comics has when it comes to like the paid comics, or not the paid comics, but the paid subscriptions to access certain comics. Do you think it's kind of coincidental that they realize, hey, we can't do Disney because, hey, we can get in trouble? Let me know what your thoughts are. And until then, talk to you all later.